Jesus, that's the only way to be saved. So they've come in, these Judaizers have come into Philippi and they've started telling these Gentile believers that this is what they have to do. But the church has already tackled that problem. If you can think back to Acts 15, if you know Acts 15, the council at Jerusalem that happened in 48 AD, what they had done there was to deal with this problem then. And they'd come to the conclusion that if you are a Christian, you don't need to be circumcised, you don't need to follow the law of Moses, except for, I think there's four things that are listed in Acts 15 that they're still to follow. But what the church had decided was that we are saved by grace. We are not saved by Jewish tradition, Jewish customs, by circumcision. So when Paul writes to the Philippians about 12 years after all of that, he is saying, particularly in verse 3, that we do not need to put any confidence in the flesh. And he tells them very clearly, they don't have to follow Jewish customs or be circumcised in order to be saved. Now that word flesh is a translation of a Greek word, sarx. Paul uses this word in different ways in his letters. But here he's not talking about rebellion against God or our earthly existence. But he's talking about flesh to mean our physical background or our ancestral background. Paul is emphatically stating that we are not to put any confidence in the physical, in this case, circumcision. This is contrary to the teaching of the Judaizers. In fact, when Barbara read the passage again, it struck me again at the beginning that he says we are the true circumcision, those who believe in Jesus, who put their faith and trust in Jesus. That is the true circumcision. So nobody's saved by physical actions. No one's saved by their ancestral or their religious roots. And Paul kind of tries to prove his point by listing his Jewish background. All right, he firmly establishes that he's a Jew. If you didn't notice, it was there very clearly. But let me remind you. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day, according to Jewish custom. All right. He's saying, I'm a Hebrew. I'm not a Gentile. So the language he spoke, the clothes he wore, the customs he followed, they all had Jewish roots. He says, I was a Pharisee. So he knows the law of Moses inside out. And he claimed that he'd been righteous according to the law. So here's a man who knew his roots, and he had stood firm in those roots. His very being and identity cried out, I am a Jew. Here is my proof. I am Jewish. But Paul does not list all of that and highlight his Jewishness because he wants the Philippians to take on that identity. Far from it. Paul does that because he wants them to understand that he could put confidence in the flesh. He was a Jew. He could put confidence in that. But what he's saying is that that doesn't count for anything anymore. So where Paul's identity was once strongly bound in being Jewish, he no longer puts any confidence in that whatsoever. He's telling the Philippians to ignore the Judaizers, resist their pressure, not to put confidence in Jewish customs and rituals. Now, I don't know about you, but isn't that actually amazing? I think it's really amazing how much Jesus has transformed this man who was so zealous of his persecution of Christians. He was so confident in his identity as a Jew, to a man who now says, all of this counts for nothing. That shows a huge change, a radical transformation. And he's sharing that with the Philippians. Now, Paul's Jewish roots are definitely used by God for God's purposes, but Paul is no longer defined by those roots. So instead of putting their confidence in the flesh, Paul urges the Philippians to put their confidence in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Their roots and their identity are in Christ. And in verse 8, which Murray mentioned at the beginning, Paul himself says, knowing Jesus is much higher worth and value than anything earthly that can be offered to us. And in verse 9, he also says that our righteousness comes through faith. It doesn't come through law, which is what the Judaizers wanted the Philippians to do. So in short, Paul has given up all of his earthly identity. He's given up that flesh, and he counts it as nothing compared to knowing Jesus. So let's just spend a short while. Let's just reflect on that. What can we learn? What can we apply to ourselves from the things that Paul is saying to the Philippians? And I'll give you a bit of a warning here. Some of this might be a bit challenging. So let's see what we can learn. Well, first of all, let's consider if and where we ourselves might be putting confidence in the flesh. Where does our own sense of identity lie? Is it in our ancestry? Is it in our job? Is it in our status? Is it in our family? Our education? Our achievements? Our church service and ministry? Or is it in our church heritage? And I urge us to consider our answers as individuals, yes, but also corporately here as the body of Christ of Trendlewood. Are there areas where we are putting our confidence in the flesh? Maybe there are things of the past. Maybe things that we feel comfortable and familiar with. But are we putting our confidence in the right things? So secondly, let's ask ourselves, are we putting our confidence in Jesus and the Holy Spirit? This morning, in the prayer time, as Murray said, several people had that sense that we should be asking the Holy Spirit to come. So are we asking the Spirit come? Are we wanting to put our confidence in the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit is saying? Is our identity as an individual and as a church here firmly and fully in Jesus? Do we know what God is saying to us in the here and now? Are we wanting to discover what's on God's heart and mind for us as a church here in the present and moving into the future? Are there bits of the flesh that we need to let go of and rely more on the Holy Spirit? And finally, as I've already said, Paul was a man transformed by Jesus. He let go of his Jewish identity, and it was replaced by his identity in Christ. Paul deeply desired to know Christ, to follow Christ, and bring Christ to others. And he willingly gave up all that was familiar to him to gain Christ. I wonder if we are all willing to do that. Are we open to being transformed ourselves by Christ, as individuals and as Trendlewood? Indeed, are we able to join with Paul when he says, whatever were gains for me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ? Let's just take a moment to pause, and then I'll pray, and then we'll continue our response with the song All I Once Held Dear. But let's just take a moment just to pause, reflect on some of the things that you've heard, maybe some of the questions that have really hit you or struck you. Maybe you're open to transformation. Maybe you know there's resistance within to transformation. So let's just take that moment. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are present here with us. We thank you, Jesus, that you gave us the gift of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and move among us this morning as your people here. Lord, we ask you to reveal to us where we might be holding on to and putting our confidence and trust in the flesh and in our earthly abilities. And we ask you to help us to take on that confidence in you, Jesus. Confidence in you, Holy Spirit. We ask that you might transform us so that who we are is found in Christ. That we might be willing, as Paul did, to consider all that we have, all that we are, as garbage, in order to gain you, Jesus, in order to love you and serve you and live our lives for you.